All right, we're starting here on the top. Vem dalet amin aleph by the two dots. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah: Kol sheyesh lo matirim ben adam ben mizbeach chayavin alav mishum pigul. Anything that has a matir that allows achilat adam or achilat mizbeach, that item is subject to pigul. Tan rabbanan. So now the Gemara quotes a brayta that starts in the middle, which is enu mevi elokiyotze bishlamim. So Gemara here is playing on the fact that the source for pigul comes from the Shlamim. That's from Vayikra Zayin, Pasuk Yudchet. Im achol yachel mibsar zebach shlama v'yom hashelishi, lo yiratzeh, makriv oto lo yachashev lo pigulieh. Nefesh ochele bimenu abuna tisa. So that source for the fact that pigul comes from a pasuk that involves zebach shlamim, that's what the brayta is picking up with all of a sudden in the middle. O enu mevi elki yotzei b'shlamim. Maybe it would only be a situation in which it's dome l'shlamim. Ma shlamim miuchadim nechalim l'shnei yamim b'layla echad. Just like shlamim have this unique time period in which they can be eaten, which is they have 2 days and the night in between where they can be eaten as a korban. Afkol nechal l'shnei yamim b'layla echad. Then we would only include other items for pigol that have that same character trait, which is that they're eaten for 2 days and one night. Nechal yom b'layla minayin. How do I know that something's eaten for a day and a night? Also is subsumed in this category of pigul or can be subject to pigul. Tamalomar mibasar. So here you have mibsar zebach shlamav. So the mibsar is a riboy to tell you that not only is it relevant to things like the shlamim that are eaten for 2 days and one night, it's even relevant to things that are eaten the yom v'layla, including a chatat and a sham, all the kodshei kodashim, they're eaten for a day and a night. Shesharayim nechalim. The word mibsar tells you anything that is eaten or the residual is eaten. Ola she'en shiara nechalim. How do we know that there's pigol by an ola where there's no residual that's eaten by the kohanim? Minayin tamalomar zevach. That we learn out of the riboy from the word zevach. Minayin the rabot, hofot, v'aminachot, adshini mirabet, log shaman shel mitzorah. How do I know to include all these other items that are subject to pigul, that don't have the character traits, not of a shlamim, not of a yom v'layla necessarily, because they're not korbanot in the sense of korban behema, she'en shirayim nechalim, but they have shirayim that are nechalim. Menachot, hofot, other categories, and log shaman shel mitzorah, tamalomar, asher heim makdishim li. Here, the Gemara goes slightly off track, because Asher Hei Makdishim Li is a pasuk that's found in Parshat Emor. Parshat Emor, it says, Edber Hashem HaMashal Emor, Daber Laron, Vel Banav, V'Nazru, Mikodshe B'nei Yisrael, Yo Yichalalu Et Shem Kodshi, Asher Hei Makdishim Li, Ani Hashem. So that pasuk is speaking about Tuma, necessity for the Kohanim to separate themselves away from the Kodoshim, in order not to ruin the Kormanot, or ruin the Kodoshim. So here when it says, Asher Hei Makdishim Li, that's a riboy, anything that is kodesh. So anything that is kodesh, then is subject to tuma. But we're looking for a source within pigul. So why does it matter that everything is included under tuma? That's because we have ati, notar, chilul, chilul mi tuma. That's because notar can be learned from here through a gzeir shavu of chilul, chilul. Vati pigul, avon, avon mi notar. And then pigul can be learned from a gzeir shavu of avon, avon from notar. She have a double gzeirah shavah over here. The first gzeirah shavah brings it from the pasuk that we were just speaking about now, which is Daber Laron Vel Banav Yinazru Mikodshei Ben Yisrael Velo Yichalelu Et Shem Kodshei Hashem Makdishim Li Ani Hashem. Then that connects to a pasuk that's found in the beginning of Parshat Kedoshim, which we have discussed earlier, the pasukim that are found there. It says, Vochlav Avono Isa Ked Kodesh Hashem Chilel Nechreta Nefeshahi Me'ameha. There you have the gzeirah shavah of Chilel. Chilel, which brings the din that is true by Tuma also to the din of Notar. And we know that Notar is just the physical manifestation of Pigul, which is the actual leaving of something beyond the time period in which it's supposed to be consumed. And then Pigul is the Machshava to do such. And now we learn out from Exer Shava of Avon Avon, which is Vochlav Avono Isa, versus what is written by the case over here, I'm a choli achel mibsar zevach shlama v'yom shlishi lo yiratze hamakriv oto v'lechashev lo pigul yeh v'nevesh she'ochelet mimenu avona tisa. There you have a double gzeirah shavah. Through that double gzeirah shavah, we now can include all kodoshim. The truth is that the Gemara is going to discuss this later on. What types of limudim are allowed to be duplicated or used within kodoshim? We already established that you can't have a hekesh lehekesh in kodoshim. The Gemara will actually query about Gzeir Shavah, with regards to Kodoshim. Tosfot over here just notes, it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't bring this as a proof to the fact that Gzer Sheva does work, because here we have a limud and a breita that utilizes that mechanism. So Gemara asks, Me'achar Shesofo Lerabot Kol Davar, somewhat, I think, along the lines of what you're asking here, is once you have this riboy from Tuma, Lama Ne'amar Shlamim, Me'ata, then why bother having the word Shlamim at all? The whole idea of Basar, Zevach Shlamav, so those ribuyim, but even Shlamim itself, if you're going to include anything, why do you have even a paradigm within Pigul of Shlamim? Lomar Lecha, that comes to teach you, Mashlamim, Yuchadim, Sheishlem Matirim, Ben Ladam, Ben Mizbeach. The unique aspect or unique character trait of a Shlamim is the fact that it has both a Matir for the Mizbeach, those are the Emurim of the Shlamim, end up in the Mizbeach, and the Zrikat Adam is Matir the Emurim, the Mizbeach, as well as that they have a Matir Le Adam, which is that the Zrikat Adam, the Mizbeach, is what permits the Basar to be eaten by the Balim and the Kohanim. So that is the unique aspect or character trait of a Shlamim that we will apply. Af, Koshesh Le Matirim, Ben Adam, Ben Mizbeach, Chayivim Aleim Mishum Pigul. So that is going to be the, in a sense, the narrowing of the scope. When we say all kodoshim from that pasuk by Tuma that we extrapolate to notar through Gzer Sheva and then from notar to pigol, that's only true with a qualifier of the fact that it has to be dissimilar to a shlamim, which is that it has either a matir lemizbeach or a matir leadam. Ha'ola dama matir b'sara lemizbeach va'ora lekohanim. With regards to this, we have that the ola, it's dam that goes on Mizbeach, is matir basara the Mizbeach. That's what permits the nitachim, the pieces of the olah, to be placed on the Mizbeach, and also allows the Kohanim to partake in the hides of the olah. Olah ta'of, dama matir et basara the Mizbeach. By the olah ta'of, where there is no consumption of the item at all by the Kohanim, it's dam, or matan dam on the Mizbeach, is matir the olah ta'of for ending up on the Mizbeach. Chatat of, dama matir basara the Kohanim. And by the Chatato, where there's nothing that goes on the Mizbeach, just the opposite way around. It goes all to the Kohanim. It's Dam that goes on the Mizbeach, is Matir that Pasar the Kohanim. Parim Esrimafim, Visarim and Israfim, Dama Matir et Emurim Likarev. The Parim Esrafim, Visarim and Israfim, which are not eaten at all, and actually don't end up on the Mizbeach, but their Dam that is brought in the Heichal, is Matir the Emurim, the fats of these korbanot to end up on the Mizbeach. So these are items that would all be included because they have matirim. These are examples of items with matirim that would be included. Motzi ani hakometz ve'et halevona, v'aktoret, u'minchat kohanim, u'minchat kohen mashiach, u'minchat nisachim ve'hadam. So all the items that are going to be excluded, these are items that are familiar to us because we just saw them in the Mishnah and yesterday's daf, but I will exclude things like the kometz and the frankincense and the ktoret, and Minchat Kohanim, which is Kalil al Mizbeach, Minchat Kohen Mashiach, Minchat Chavitim, the Kohen Gadol, which is also Kalil al Mizbeach, Minchat Nisachim, and as well as the Minchat that joins the Nisachim, similar with Dam, those all end up on the Mizbeach entirely, and therefore they are no Matir, that is Matir either L'Achilat Adam or L'Achilat Mizbeach. In essence, they are Matir themselves to the Mizbeach, therefore they're excluded from the din of Pigul. Even though the dam does have an aspect of being matir something else, which is the fact that it's matir the shiraim to end up on the mizbeach, nevertheless it is excluded here because it itself is being used as a matir. And as Tosafot said on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, since every drop of blood is ra'ui to be of the zrika, then it doesn't have a din of matir and shiraim, but the whole thing is classified as a matir. B'shimon Omer, mashlamim miyuchadim sheish bo al mizbeach hachitzon, v'chayvin alav, af ko sheyesh dan al mizbeach hachitzon, v'chayvin alav, mishum pigul. So the shlamim, according to Rabbi Shimon, adds another qualifier, which is just like the shlamim is processed on the mizbeach hachitzon, and then you're chayav for pigul, so too, only items that are processed on the mizbeach hachitzon are subject to pigul. And this is Rabbi Shimon that we saw in the Mishnah that argues and says, yetzu parim nisafim, usurim nisafim, ho sheyin al mizbeach hachitzon, kishlamim, ein chayvin alav, mishum pigul. Since they're not processed on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, like a Shlamim, they won't be subject to Pigol. So this Breita gives us a lot of information. Most of it we've already seen in our Mishnah, but it gives us the background as to how you would learn something like this. Even though there is already a Limud that we've seen earlier in the Masechta, and see again later in the Masechta, which is Vizot HaTorah, La'ola LaMincha LaChatat LaHasham, Balomim of LaZevach HaShlamim, which includes all the different korbanot in that mention in Parshat Tzav, we have the hekesh between the different korbanot, and from there, so there is, as Balei Tosafot point out, a Deya that believes that that is the source for including all the other kodeshim, This braita obviously does not subscribe to that and uses the limud that it has here in order to generate the correlation between shlamim and the other korbanot for pigol. And so then the braita gave us examples of different aspects of it, and that's what the Gemara wants to discuss now. Amar mar, ki yotze b'shlamim. Braita began that had I had none of these ribuim, I would have thought I would only include things that are similar to the shlamim, that they are eaten for 2 days and one night, and they're similar to the shlamim. My nihu. What would have been that item that you would have included that is so similar to a shlamim? Bechor. It would have been the korban bechor, the nechal l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. It's eaten for 2 days and one night. B'mai, ati. What exactly would have caused you to believe that you would extrapolate from shlamim to a bechor? Ibim ematzinu. If you would just do it by the fact that you've now created a structural paradigm by which shlamim is chayav and pigol, so do other things that are similar to shlamim. So if it looks like a shlamim, it'll have the din of a shlamim. And bechor, you're saying looks like a shlamim because it's eaten for 2 days and one night. That's not exactly a good mematzinu, because ikal mifrach. You could undermine that by saying mal shlamim shein dunim smicha nisachim tunvat chazev v'shok. That's because the shlamim has these unique aspects that don't apply to the korban bechor. It requires smicha. It also has nisachim that are brought along with it, and it requires a wave offering of the chazev v'shok, which are the matnot kuhuna that come out of the shlamim. So there's certain kumrot, which maybe are what are the driving force for it being pigul, and therefore you can't just extrapolate that to bechor. So the Gemara says, Ela mi'im ha'chol ye'achel. That is because we learn it from ha'chol ye'achel, which is a klau and klau. Now the truth is, if you read the pasuk, it says, Im'achol ye'achel mi'psar zevach shlamav. Im'achol ye'achel are two klalim, or two ribuim, and then afterwards you have mi'psar zevach shlamav, which is a prat. So what the Gemara is saying is, don't learn this as, Im'achol ye'achel mi'psar zevach shlamav, which is a klau uprat. If it was a klau uprat, then ein ba'klau ela masher ba'prat, and then zevach shlamim would be it, the only thing you would include. Mar is saying you have these two klalim, so make it into a klal uprat uklal, and then you're done ke'ein haprat. Mar says, how can you do that? Hatrei klali d'smicha adodi ninu. It's not a klal uprat uklal, it's a klal uprat. How are you darshaning that as a klal uprat uklal? So marova ked amrei b'marova. This is the shita that they use in Eretz Yisrael. Kol makom shata moseh shnei klalot asmuchim ze lezeh. Whenever you find a klal, and then the prat afterwards, hatel prat b'nehem. You move the prat from afterwards in between them and make it into it, donan b'chlalu prat. And then you're donate as a klalu prat uchlal. There is a daya that disagrees with this and says that when you have a setup like this, it becomes a ribuy and a miut rather than a klalu prat uchlal. What we're saying is this braita subscribes to that view that in a case of klalu prat, you make it into a klalu prat uchlal. And so the prat is the shlamim. And so then we bring in things that are dome the shlamim. And even though we used this earlier in the Mesachna and Daf Kavchet to learn that b'shtei achilot ha-katuv midaber, im achol ye'achel, but the pasuk is speaking about both achilat adam and achilat mizbeach, nevertheless, the Baal HaTosfot would say we can learn both things out, because if it had written it in a consistent form, in a parallel structure of im ha-achol, ha-achol, or im ye'achel, ye'achel, the fact that it mixed and matched the words gives you two limudim. One limud regards to the two achilot, well, is the limud up here about the klal uprat uchlal. Nevertheless, as the Baal HaTosfot point out, umikom akom tzricha yiturei dela'el. So then once you have the klal uprat uchlal of the shlamim, why do you need all the ribuim of the basar, the zebach, and the limud from the tuma? Why do we need all those? The klal uprat lo merabe eledome leprat b'chol tzadim. So klal uprat uchlal says that you have to match up with the prat, at least with a number of common traits between you. If already you're somewhat differentiated from the shlamim, we wouldn't have necessarily included you. So the klal prat uklal is limited in its scope of what it could include. So yes, maybe it included a bechor, maybe even a korban maser. But for bringing in things like a chatat and a sham and an olah, they're too different from the shlamim that it would not be included in a klal prat uklal. And therefore you still need the ribuim, even though you have this klal prat uklal. What Tosfot is noting is that a klal prat uklal is more rigid than you thought, which is that it has to have at least two or three ways in which there's a common denominator between them. If they're differentiated in some of the primary character traits, then you don't always bring it or include it in a klal uprat uklal, and that's why it says you need a ribuy on top of the klal uprat uklal. And even though, as the Baal HaTosfot will point out, there are large differences between a shlamim and a bechor, even to the extent that the Gemara in some places says you can't learn one from the other, nevertheless, they do have this common denominator of shnei yamim v'layla echad, and that's enough over here to make it that you would have thought, if you just said shlamim, that you would have included bechor for pigol, but nothing more than that. So then the Gemara discusses what was mentioned in the Braita, Achni merabe lok shemen shel mitzora. when it came to including these additional items through the Gzeirah Shavah that we had, or the double Gzeirah Shavah that we have, the Braita enumerated one item, which was the Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah. The Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah is unusual in a number of ways. It is a Log Shemen that is brought along with the Asham Mitzorah, which is brought at the point of Tahara for the Mitzorah. That Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah is brought along with the Korban. And then the Kohen uses that, first of all, to sprinkle 7 times Keneged the Petach HaHechal. And in addition, he puts matnot on the Mitzorah himself, on his Toch Ozen HaYimanit, Albon Yado HaYimanit, and Bon Raglo HaYimanit. He has matnot on them. The remainder of the oil that's left after those processes are done belongs to the Kohanim. So here you have something which is processed along with the Korban and has a residual which is Achilat Kohanim. So what the Braita suggested is it's subject to Pigul, that if something went wrong with the Asham, the Dam Asham, then the Log HaShemen would be carried along subordinate to the Korban. And so if the Korban became Pigul through a Machshava with the Dam or the Nitina Dam of the Asham, that would have impact on this Log HaShemen Shel Mitzorah. Gemara wants to know, Hamani, who's the author of such a position? We know from our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir is the one who believes that the Log Shemen is subject to Pigul. D'tanya, you can see here on the side of the Mesoret Hashas, spends time discussing whether this is really a Braita or this is a Mishnah. Because here the Gemara brings excerpts that are not identical, but so similar to a Mishnah that's found in Menachot. And so what he's trying to determine is this really a Braita from the Tosefta? Or is this really a Mishnah which the Gemara brings in a concise form? And he quotes the Bali Tosafot as noting in a number of places that the Gemara will quote a Mishnah and say it and quote it in a concise or succinct manner, which leaves out words or changes small things in it, but they still say it's a quote from the Mishnah. And he says maybe that's the case here as well, and that's really should be Ditnan instead of Ditanya. Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah, Chayvin Ala Mishum Pigul, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's position. Mar says, Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the latter part of the Braita that we were quoting here before? Motzi ani, minchat nisachim, v'adam. Certain things that are excluded here in the list are minchat nisachim and dam. Atan rabbonon. That follows the position of the rabbonon. D'tanya, nischei behema, chayvin aleim mishum pigul. When it comes to nisachim of a behema, they are subject to pigul. Mipnei shedam hazevach matiram likarev. Because the dam of the zevach is what's matir, the nisachim, to end up on the mizbeach. So they have a matir, and they have an achilat mizbeach. So they'll be subject to pigul if the behemah becomes pigul as a subordinate item to the behemah, will also become pigul, divrei Rabbi Meir. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Amulo, halo, adam mivi et zvachav hayom, unisachav mikan vasara yamim. This is again something that we saw yesterday a number of times, and we'll see it again and again, which is that the nisachim are connected loosely to the korban, but they aren't directly correlated with it. So they're associated with the korban, but not directly correlated. And that's because you do not have to bring the nisachim on the same day you bring the korban. You have a window of opportunity to bring them. Mikan v'asara yamim could be literally taken, or could be just an expression of you can bring it whenever you want. There's no limitation on when you bring the nisachim. And so the chamim say, how could it be that the dam of the korban is the matir, but the nisachim can be brought in a totally independent manner? And so that means that they're really not the matir for nisachim. So Amalahem, so Rabbi Meir has to respond to that, says, Afani lo amarti el bavein imazevach. I only say that's true when they're brought the same time as the zevach. So for Rabbi Meir, there's really 2 types of nisachim. There's a nesach that's brought along with the korban at the same time of the korban, and that'll be correlated with the korban, so tightly correlated that if the korban becomes pigul, so will the nesach. On the other hand, there's another type of nesach, which is associated with the korban, but not correlated with the korban, that even Rabbi Meir will agree is not subject to pigul, and that's when you bring the nesachim, not on the day of the zevach itself. Chamim say, well, the fact that you can bring it on days independent of the zevach shows you that even when you bring it on the day of the zevach, it's still only associated, not correlated with that zevach. Therefore, you don't look at the zevach as being the matir for the nesachim. That's the case. They're not going to be subject to the pigul if the behemah or the korban becomes pigul. But now you have a problem, is you have a bifurcation of attribution or authorship in the Braita. You have a position within the Braita that says Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah is subject to pigul. That sheet that Rabbi Meir. But then in the list of items that are not subject to pigul, it lists there minchat nisachim, and that is the opinion of the Chachamim and not Rabbi Meir, as we just discussed over here. Amar Rabbi Yosef Hamani Rabbi Hi. The author of this Braita is neither Rabbi Meir nor the Chachamim, but rather a third Tana, which is Rabbi. Tamar Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah Matnotav Sharulei. Umimenatotav Sharulei Matnotav mifaglile. So here again, there's a little shift in the way that the Gemara is speaking about it. It's something that's been a little unclear with the Mishnah. When the Mishnah speaks about items that become pigul because they have a matir, it's not clear whether that means simply that if the item becomes pigul, like the korban, it affects all these ancillary items that were mentioned in the Mishnah, and they are also subject to pigul. That seems to be the interpretation of the Mishnah. Or does it mean also that if you have a makshevet chutz lizmano with regards to this item while you're doing zrikat adam, that will make the korban into pigul? So a good example of that would be here when we're speaking about the nisachim, the lo shem et shel metzora, or the nisachim, when we're speaking about these items. Does it just mean they are subordinate to the korban? So the korban becomes pigul, they also become pigul. Or does it mean that while you're bringing the korban and you're putting the dam on the mizbeach, if you think about bringing these nisachim outside of their time period, bring the lo shem outside of their time period, it could be subject to pigul. Well, it's a little difficult only because those items, and that's what the chamim are saying, can be brought at any time, even up to 10 days. So they really don't have a time-bound side to them. Ravi comes along and says, well, baby, by the log shemen, there is such a concept, because the log shemen has matnot that are associated with it. They have a process by which it is matir the shiraim, the kohanim. Minchat b'nesachim doesn't end up being eaten by the kohanim. But a log shemen, the residual of the oil, is eaten by the kohanim. And that's permitted by the fact that you do sheva hazaot keneged petach ha'echal, and you also have the matnot that go on to the metzora himself. The Tanya, lok shemen shel metzora, mo'alim bo ad shizrok adam. It is subject to mi'ilah. Mi'ilah means misappropriation of hekdesh. You getting benefit from hekdesh while it is still hekdesh. Until the zrikat adam of the korban, it's subject to mi'ilah. Zrak adam, lo nehenim velo mo'alim. Once the dam has been process, meaning that you process the korban and did the zrikat adam, it shifts now into a status where technically there is no mi'ilah, but there is mi'ilah midrabanan, which is lo ne'anin. You're not allowed to get hanah from it, but lo ma'alim. Lo ma'alim means that there's no mi'ilah do'oraita. So it is a state in which it's problematic midrabanan until you do the matnot shemen, and then the kohanim can benefit from it. The principle that is at work here is item that is kodesh is only subject to mi'ilah ad she'naseh mitzvotav, until the mitzvah is completed. Or what's otherwise called as shat heter the kohanim. Once there's a heter for the kohanim to partake of this item, that already wipes out the mi'ilah associated with it. And here too, once the mitzvah is done, it's no longer subject to mi'ilah. With regards to a korban, when you do the zrikat adam, then the korban after the zrikat adam loses its shem mi'ilah, at least for the aspects or the items that are going to be eaten by the Kohanim or don't have any other mitzvah associated with them. The Imurim, which still have to go on the Mizbeach, they're subject to Mi'ilah because they're Kodashim that have to end up on the Mizbeach, so they still have a mitzvah that is left in them. So what the Tanakama is saying over here is that by the Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah, their mitzvah is completed once the Zrikat Adam is done for the Korban. That means they're no longer subject to Mi'ilah. The Chamim imposed an issue of Mi'ilah until the matnot shemen are done, in order to permit it to the kohanim. So it's a technicality which says that you need the matnot shemen in order to be matir at midorabanan. But midoraita already, the mitzvah is naseh once the dam went on mizbeach. Rabbi Omer Molim achitein matnotav. Rabbi says is that until the matnot shemen are done, it is subject to mi'ilah deoraita. That means that he thinks the mitzvah toh is not nasit until those matnot shemen, those zrikota shemen are done. Now Rashi here splits between the matnot shemen. I mentioned before, you have the matnot shemen, which are the seven hazaot for Hashem that are towards the Eichal. And then you have the matnot shemen that are placed on the mitzorah himself. And Rashi says, Rabbi only says this with regards to the sheva hazaot, because those are hazaot that are done to Hashem. Those that are done on the mitzorah are not a matir, because they're done for the mitzorah, they're not done for Hashem. That which is done for Hashem, which are the seven hazaot, that can be a matir. And what he says is that me'ilah is only released once those sheva hazot of shemen are done. Mishavin, shasur b'achila, achiten mentan sheva umatan behonot. And everybody agrees that you can't eat the shemen, or the residual shemen is not available to the kohanim until they've done these matanot. The only question is the restriction a restriction de oraita, or is a restriction midrabanan of mi'ilah? But they both agree that you can't eat it until those matanot are done. Well, now what we're saying is that we want to extrapolate Rabbi's position here to the area of Pigul and say just like the Mi'ilah is only removed once you've done the Matnot Shemen, similarly, Pigul will happen here because there's a Matir for the Shemen. For the Tanakama, the Matir for the Shemen is the Dam of the Hashem. On the other hand, for Rabbi, the matir of the Shemen is the Shemen itself, the sprinkling of the Shemen itself. That means that the Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah, Matnot of Shemen, are matir itself, or matir the Shemen itself. So if Rabbi believes there's a matir in the Shemen itself, then maybe he also believes there's pigul independently for the Shemen itself, and he'll be the author of the Braita that says, Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah is subject to pigul because it has its own matir. And when you do the matnot of the shemen in mind to have that chutz lizmano, that would be subject to pigul, not as a ancillary to the korban, but in and of itself, you could create that problem. But he fundamentally holds like the chachamim when it comes to things like the minchat nechsachim, which are subordinate to the korban. It can be brought from today until 10 days from now. They're not correlated with the korban, but associated with the korban. He would agree that those are not subject to pigul. It's only the shemen, which has its own matir, that is subject to pigul. So that is the suggestion of Rav Yosef of the authorship of the Braita is not the Chachamim, is neither Rabbi Meir nor the Chachamim, but rather Rabbi over here, who really believes like the Chachamim, except by Shimon of the Mitzorah, it has its own matir. So Amruah Kameh the Rabbi Yirmiyah. So the Rabbanan said over this Chiddush of Rav Yosef with regards to the authorship or the attribution of the Braita to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amar Gavra Rabbi Rav Yosef, Lema Kiha Milta. A great man like Rav Yosef would never say such a thing with regards to this sugya, because Harei Log Haba Bifnei Atzmo. When you bring the Log Shemen by itself to the Chuli Hama Matnotav Shaule, everybody agrees that when you bring the Log Shemen independent of the Korban, the only thing that's matter the Log Shemen for the Kohanim is the zrikot that are associated, the matnot shemen that are associated with the loga shemen, because there's nothing else to be matirit. And nevertheless, v'lo mefaglim le. At least the Tanakama agrees that there's no pigol over there. The Tanya, lo shemen shel mitzorah, chayim ala mishum pigol, v'nei dam matiro the behonot. That a log shemen is subject to pigol because the dam of the asham is what allows it to be placed on the behonot of the mitzorah. That's both the zrikat adam for the korban, as well as the fact that there are no dam on the mitzorah himself before you put the matnot shemen there. So both ways, it's a matir or prerequisite for the shemen. That's what Rabbi Meir believes. Amrulo, the Rabbi Meir, lo adam mevi ashamo achshav, lo mikan va'atzara yamim. A person can bring his loga shemen, not along with the asham, but rather later time period. So how could you make such a statement that they are so correlated that have impact from the asham? So, Amalahan, Rabbi Meir answers them, Afanilo, Amarti, Ela, Beva, Im Hasham, similar to what he says by the Minchat Nisachim. He says, I only say that when it's brought together with the Hasham. In that case, it'll be correlated. But if it's brought later on, it'll be associated with the Korban, but not correlated with the Korban, and it would not be subject to Pigul. If that's the case, even Rabbi Meir, who's the author of the position that Loga Shemen is subject to Pigul, does not say that if you bring it separately, that it is subject to Pigul, despite the fact that it's Matir itself. Rabbi Meir admits here, it's not wrong with the korban. It's not the dam that's matirit. It's the matnot shemen that are matirit. And despite the fact he doesn't say there's pigul, so there's no correlation between it having a matir for mi'ilah and it's having a matir for pigul. Your extrapolation of Rabbi Shito is incorrect, and that's why Rabbi Yirmiyah rejects Rabbi Yosef's explanation. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, the olam Rabbi Meir. He says it has to be Rabbi Meir, and I'll solve the problem of the nisachim that are mentioned later on, which is sami mikan. Take out nisachim from the Braita. Just eliminate them from the Braita, and then you don't have a problem anymore. Amar Abaye, who is a Talmud of Rav Yosef, comes almost in a sense to the defense of Rav Yosef to say you can't just take the nisachim out of here. Olam lo tisme. Don't eliminate it from the Braita. Betana log habayim masham. So the Braita is actually speaking about two different scenarios. In the earlier part of the Braita, when it says that it's a log shemen that is subject to pigul, that's speaking about a log shemen that comes along with the asham, which we just saw in the Braita, Rabbi Meir believes is subject to pigul. And the same din will apply to a nesach that's brought along with the zevach. It will be subject to pigul. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion that we've seen, both by the nesachim, as well as by the log shemen. And then later on in the Braita, where it says that the nesachim are not subject to pigul, those are nisachim abayim bifnei atzman. Those are nisachim or minchat nisachim that are brought later, after the bringing of the korban. Those are not subject to pigul, even according to Rabbi Meir. We saw him answer here with the log shemen, as well as by the minchat nisachim. But then the log haba bifnei atzman, the same din will apply by log bifnei atzman. So the author of the Braita is actually Rabbi Meir. And each of these items are brought not as opposing positions, meaning that this is the log shemen and nisachim is different, But rather, Log Shemen is a case where it was brought together with the Korban. That's why it's subject to Pigal going to Rabbi Meir. And that'd be true of Minchat Nisachim as well. The Log Shemen is just brought as an example. And later on, the Braita, where we say that it's not subject to Pigal, is a case where it's not brought. The Nisachim are not brought along with the Zavach. But that's also true of a Log Shemen that's not brought along with the Zavach. So each one of them is an example of a case, and the reason you would associate the Log Shaman more with the Korban is because it's likely that the Mitzorah is going to bring his Log Shaman together with the Hashem Mitzorah, because the Shaman is put in the same places as the Dam. He also wants to be Matir himself in terms of Tarat, enter into the Mikdash and eat Kodesh, so he may as well finish off the process rather than dragging it out, as opposed to the Minchat Nisachim, which are accompaniment to a Korban, but they're not essential to the processing of the Korban. The person's Yotze, even if he doesn't bring the Nisachim, if he brings them later, then they're also, he's Yotze, the din of Nisachim. So that's used as the example of an item by where there is no Pigul, because it's not correlated directly with the Korban itself. So now Gemara continues to bring the quote from the Brayta of Chatat Ov, Damam Matir B'Sara L'Kohanim. When it comes to Chatat Ov, the sprinkling of the blood of the Ov onto the Mizbeach is what's Matir, the Basar, the remainder of the Chatat Ov, to the Kohanim. Menahane Mile. How do we know that this is true? Now, the truth is that the Gemara is going to go through a number of items that it wants to know, that it's true that these items are, whatever is done for them, is matir them. So here they're going to quote a pasuk from Bamidbar Yudchet, which is Pashat Korach. After the rebellion of Korach, in the psukim that follow, there is a list of the 24 matnot kuna that are granted to Aaron. Since there was a challenge to the kuna, right after the challenge to the kuna, Hashem declares who the Kohanim are, by the demonstration through the miracles with Adat Korach. And then he says, what are the privileges of being a Kohen? And those are the 24 matnot kuna that are enumerated over there. And so that's what we're quoting over here. Ze yelecha mikodesh hakodoshim min ha'esh. This is what's going to be to you, what matnot that you'll get from the kodesh hakodoshim min ha'esh, that go on the fire. Kol korbanam, all their korbanot. L'chol min chatam, and all their menachot, u'l'chol chatotam, all their chataot, v'chol hashamam, and any hasham, asher yashivu li, that are brought or returned to me, kodesh kodeshim l'chahu u'l'vanecha. They are considered to be kodesh kodeshim for you, and for your children, for your descendants. The truth is that there's nothing wrong with the fact that the Torah mentions each of the items, because here the Torah is enumerating the 24 matnot kuna. So in and of itself, the fact that it mentions korban, mincha, chatat, v'asham, that's not surprising, and there's no chiddush to that. The question, or really the limud that's coming out of the braita, is based on the word kol. Why do you need the word kol to say all korbanot, and all menachot, and all chataot, and all ashamot? Why do you need that extra word kol? And that's what is being darshan over here, the Tani Levi. Kol korbanam, l'rabot log shemen shel mitzorah. That comes to include the log shemen shel mitzorah, that it is also included in the matnot kiuna, because it calls it a korban, because it says v'kibo tola sham v'et log hashamen. In Parshat Mitzorah, when it discusses log hashamen, includes it in the terminology of hakrava along with the hasham. So kol korbanam comes to say v'hikriv. That hakrava that is associated with the log shaman means it's also a matnat kuna. That's why the residual of the shemen goes to the kohanim. Kasalkatat chamina, I would have thought that it would not be included, because the pasuk begins, and I emphasized this when I read the pasuk, which is that Zeilecha Mikodesh HaKodeshim Min Ha'esh, things that go on the fire, things that are subject to being placed on the Mizbeach, maybe those are subject to Matnot Kuna. Because that Mina Min Ha'esh Katav Rahmana, the Torah says Min Ha'esh, put on the fire, V'alav Motar Min Ha'eshu. And the Log HaShemen is not a residual or leftover from the fire. Kamash Malan, that it's still one of the Matnot Kuna, despite the fact that it wasn't left over from the fire. And the Balei Tosafot asks the question, which they don't answer over here, which is Tema, lo lichtov me'esh, v'lo ba'i kol. Just don't put the word me'esh there, and then you won't need the ribuy of kol. The only reason you need the ribuy of kol, because it wrote me'esh. So why bother to write me'esh? It seems like they're offsetting. One's a miut, one's a ribuy, and so the ribuy just offsets the miut. So he says that he doesn't understand why you need to have a miut and a ribuy, just don't have either of them, and it would have been obvious. Then the Gemara continues, l'chol min chatam. Again, the word l'chol appears by each of these items. It says, l'chol min chatam. And again, min chatam in of itself is not a chiddush. The chiddush is the fact that it says l'chol min chatam. Rabot min chata omer u min chat kinaot. Comes to include these minachot that you would not have otherwise thought are matnot kuna. That's because, sachadat chaminu v'achlu otam asher kupar behem. The pasuk in Parshat Tetzaveh says that the Kohanim consume the korbanot, eat the korbanot. And then Asher Kuparbaim provides the kapara. So the achilat Kohanim, or the benefit of the Kohanim from the korbanot, is associated with the providing of kapara. Minchata omer la tiratya. Minchata omer is not a korban mincha that's brought for kapara. It's brought in order to be matir the chadash, so that people can then have chadash from that point forward. Minchat knaot levarer avon katya. Minchat knaot, which is the mincha of the sota, is not coming for kapara, but rather to determine whether the woman is guilty or innocent in this case. So you would have thought those are not concluded in the matnot kuna, kamash malan, that they are included in the matnot kuna. Ulechol chatatam. Again here, what do you need the word kol for with the chatatam? Rabot chatata of. So this is the answer to the question of what we quoted from the Braita. How do you know that the chatata of goes to the Kohanim after the dam is placed on the Mizbeah? That's from here, because it says lechol chatatam to include chatata of. Sachadat amina nevelohi. You would have thought the Kohanim can't get it because it's a nevelo. When it comes to the sacrificing of a fot in the Mikdash, they do not get shchita like it is done outside of the Mikdash, but rather they have a process called melika. The Kohen puts his thumb through the back of the neck of the bird in order to kill it. Outside of the Mikdash, that would be a nevela. So now you would think maybe in the Mikdash it's deemed to be a nevela and the Kohenim should not be able to eat it or not get the residual. The Mashmalan is called chatat to teach you the chatat of, despite that it has melika, is a matir and a shchita for the Kohanim. And if the Kohanim eat it, they're eating kosher items because melika for them is like shchita in the Mikdash. But if a zar came and ate the chatat of, he'd actually be chayav not only for eating the chatat of, he'd also be chayav for nevela. So the kol comes to tell you that chatat of is also a matnat kuna. The kol ashamam, again the kol, the rabot, asham nazir, vasham mitzora. That comes to include these two ashamot, which we've mentioned numerous times, because they are different than other ashamot or chatot. Salkadat chamina lahachshir ka'atu. Both of these ashamot come not as kapara, like other korbanot. So then you don't have avchul otam asher kupar behem. Rather, they brought to be matir for the mitzora. It's to be matir is tuma, so that he can enter the mikdash and eat kodesh. And for the nazir, it allows him to begin his new count of nazirut b'tahara. So they're both matirim. Kamash malon, that they are also matnot kuna, and the kohenim get to eat the ashamot, or the residual of the ashamot. Asham mitzora behejak tibay. Wait a minute. Asham mitzora, it explicitly says, by the asham mitzora, that it goes to the Kohen. As Rashi quotes over here, it says over there, Ki chatat hasham hu. It says that the asham of the mitzorah has a din like the chatat. And the chatat, we know, is eaten by the Kohanim. So then why do you need to tell me by asham mitzorah? Ela l'rabot asham nazir kasham mitzorah. It's actually to come to include the asham nazir, not the asham mitzorah, or to say the asham nazir is like the asham mitzorah. Because as opposed to the asham mitzorah, which has a matir in a way that it provides the ability of the individual to then eat kodesh, enter into the mikdash. So there's really a tangible result of the heter that comes from the asham mitzorah. But the asham nazir, it's only a trigger. All it does is allows you to begin your nazirut b'tahara. It does nothing else besides that. It's not really even matir you to do anything. It just is a trigger that allows you now to begin your account for nazirut b'tahara. So there you would have thought maybe even after knowing about the asham mitzorah, you would not have known about the Asham Nazir because you could not extrapolate. They are not similar in nature. They are similar in nature, but not similar enough that you would extrapolate it. And that's why you need Lechol Ashamam to tell you that even an Asham Nazir is concluded as a Matnat Kuna. Asher Yeshivu, again, we're continuing to darshan the Pasuk from Parshat Korach, says, Asher Yeshivu Li, anything that's returned to me will also be given to the Kohanim. Ze Gezel Ager, it's what we read in yesterday's Parshat, Parshat Naso. There is a din that is found in Vayikra Hay, with regards to asham gzelot, which is when a person denies under oath owing money, and then admits afterwards that they really do owe the money, they have to bring an asham gzelot, as well as they have to pay keren v'chomesh. They have to pay back the money that they denied, that they had stolen or taken inappropriately, and then they have to add a chomesh, they have to add on 20% on top of that, which is really 25% of the principal, and then that's given to the person from whom they denied owing the money to. So you bring the asham gzelot to the mikdash, and then you give the money to that individual. In Parshat Naso, there's an additional parshia that deals with this. And over there it says that if it's a person, ish asher en lo goel, a person that has no redeemer. And so the Midrash asks, well, who is a person in Klal Yisrael that has no redeemer? Everybody has relatives within Klal Yisrael, so they always have some relative that's a redeemer, but that's a ger. Because a ger has no relatives amongst Klal Yisrael. So normally, if it's an individual and you owe them the money from this asham gzelot, then that money would go to the yorshim if that individual passes away. But for the ger, if he passes away, and he has no goel, he has no yorshim, what do you do with the money? So that's what the Gemara is telling you here. Zegez la ger. Asher yeshivu li means the money that's returned to me. You have to give the money, in essence, to Hashem. When you give the money to Hashem, Hashem then grants that money to the Kohanim. And this is one of the matnot kuna. Lechahu. So the pasuk ends over there. Lechahu levanecha. This money that you get, this Karen V'chomesh that should have gone to the Ger, but he passed away without any relatives, so it's now given to Hashem in essence, and then Hashem grants that to the Kohanim, that is permitted for the Kohanim to use it as if it is Chulin. They can be Mekadesh and Isha with it, they can get any Hana they want from these monies. Again, the Gemara is darshan had just on Gezel Ger, not on the remaining items that were mentioned in the Parshia, because the remaining items, as we know from other places in Shas, are Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachi. That the Kohanim really eat from the table of Hashem. The items belong to Hashem, and Hashem invites them as guests to partake on that which belongs to Hashem. So all the matnot kuna really are mishulchan kavoa kazochi, so they don't belong to the Kohanim, they belong to Hashem. And Rashi notes over here, even though there's no chiddush with regards to Gezel Ager, because as we noted before, when it comes to korbanam, in chatam, chatatam, vashamam, none of that is unusual because you have to enumerate the 24 matnot kuna. What was unusual in each of these cases was the word kol was appended to them, and that was the riboy. So asher yeshivu li, there's no chiddush inherently in the fact that Gezel Ager is mentioned here, because you have to mention the matnot kuhuna. And so even though by Gezel Ager in Parshat Naso, it specifically mentions the fact that the payments for Gezel Ager go to the Kohanim, nevertheless, it has to mention it here again anyway, because of the fact that it's amongst the 24 matnot kuhuna. And for that reason, Rashi eliminates from the Girsa, Gezel Ager v'hejek tibe. It doesn't ask that question. Da'achatot v'shamot v'shar ha'amurim b'parsha v'hejek tib, kol achad v'chad b'imkomo. V'sidra no ha'katub, l'aron kam ipnei machlokto shel korach, shir era lava al-kuna. And so Rashi says that the reason Gezel Ager is brought here is just because it's a continuation of the pasuk, but not because there's any chidush associated with Gezel Ager. So on the other hand, the Bali Tosfot say that there is a chidush associated with Gezel Ager, and that is what we wouldn't have known from the pasuk that's found in Parshat Naso. And that's why it's brought in the bright over here, because there's a chidush with Gezel Ager that's lacha ulevanecha. So as other items, which mishulchan kavoa kazachi, here becomes their full possession. And even though he does mention that fact that the Gezel Ager is considered to be mishulchan kavoa kazachi, he reconciles that by saying that up front, they are Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachi, but once they're granted the Kohanim, then they get a din of belonging to the Kohanim or fully belonging to the Kohanim. Although he leaves B'tzarachiyun, what is the nafkamina, the fact that they are Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachi, if they don't remain in that status, as opposed to other items where it has a nafkamina, that it really belongs to Hashem and not to the Kohanim. They're just acting on behalf of Hashem. Whereas by Gezel Ager, once it's given to the Kohanim to use, what's the nafkamina that beforehand it was Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachi or was a kinyan of Hashem that was given to the Kohanim? Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's a question, because later on in the Gemara, the word Glili will be dropped, so then it would sound like it's Rabbi Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Pigel b'davar ha'nase b'chutz, pigel. If your pigel is about something that was done in the area of the Azara, then there's pigel. B'davar ha'nase b'fnim, if your pigel is about something inside the Eichal, lo pigel. It does not create pigel. This is reminiscent of the Shito of Rabbi Shimon, who says that just like Shlamim are processed outside, so too, only items that are processed outside are subject to pigul. But this is a nuanced view of Rabbi Shimon, which is even within items that are processed inside the Eichal, either the matnot dam or done inside the Eichal, there are times when you have manifestations of them bachutz. If that's the case, then they will be subject to pigul. Because the Chachamim believe that pigul applies to that which is done bazara and that which is done bifnim. All of them are subject to pigul. There's no differentiation as long as it's a korban that has a matan dam. The other hand, Rabbi Shimon believes there's a clear division between matnot dam that are put on mizbeach zone, matnot dam that are put on mizbeach bifnim. So anything that has a matnot dam in a echal, not subject to pigul. Anything that has matnot dam bachutz is subject to pigul. Here, Rabbi Elazar says in the name Rabbi Yossi, if you are processing something outside in the Mizbech HaChitzon, even though it might be a Matan Dam or a Korban that belongs in the Bifnim, if the aspects of it that are done Bachutz, if you have a Machshev Pigul then, that will be subject to Pigul. Says Ketzat, give us an example or explain to us how this works with regards to this position, Rabbi Elazar. Hayomei Bachutz, if he's standing outside of the Heichal, meaning the Azara, I'm going to do this shechita, which we know the machshavet pigul can happen during shechita. He said, during the shechita, I'm doing this shechita with the purpose of doing hazot dama u'damachar lo pigel. That doesn't turn out to be pigul. Shemachshava b'chutz b'davar nase b'fnim. Because yes, even though your machshava is done b'chutz, meaning in the azara, while you're doing the shechita, that's where the shechita is done, nevertheless, what you had in mind to eat outside the time period or to place outside the time period was matnot dam that are done inside the heichal. Lo pigel, not subject to pigol. Hayo made bifnim. Zin heichal v'amar eni mazel almanat laktir emurim ulishpoch shirayim lemachar. If while he's in the heichal, he's doing a matnot dam, and that's zrikat the dam. We know during zrikat the dam, you're gonna have a machshev pigol. Machshev pigol, he asks, he said he's gonna be makriv the emurim, which go on the mizbech chitzon outside their time period, or the shirayim, the residual of the blood that he has to put on his son mizbech, has a mind to do that outside of the time period. So his machshava is about something that's done b'chutz, lo pigel, shemachshava bifnim, b'dvar naseh b'chutz. Because even though the items that he's thinking about are b'chutz, but he is doing the item that he's having the wrong machshava inside the heichal. He's doing the matnot dam, which are done inside the heichal. Ava, hayomed b'chutz, if he's standing outside, meaning that's parei shochet, yishvok shirayim l'machar, l'tir mirim l'machar, pigel. So over here, even if these are parim and israfim, or srim and israfim, or parshir, sarir, shriyom akipurim, he's doing the shchita in the azara, which is a masse bachutz, he's actually doing it bachutz, and he has a machshova about something that's processed bachutz, which is the aktarat emurim on the mizbeach hachitzon, or the shari adam that's put on the mizbeach hachitzon. In that case, you can have pigul because it's machshova bachutz, but the varan nase bachutz. His machshova is during an avoda that's done bachutz, shchita, about something that's done bachutz, which is the aktarat emurim, so here you have a case, according to Rabbi Elazar, where you can have pigul by parim nisafim or sim nisafim, or parsayi or shayom ekiburim. They are subject to pigul in these particular instances. For Rabbi Shimon, they're mufka from pigul whatsoever. Rabbi Elazar says it's only when you're dealing with things that are in eichal, whether that's the machshava about something in eichal, or you're in eichal while you're having the machshava, that isn't subject to pigul. But if you're processing it outside the Eichal, in the Azara, and you have your Machshava there it is subject to Pigul. Amar Rabbi Shub and Levi, Mikra, where do they learn this from? So they learn it out of Kasher Yuram Mishor Zevach Shlamim. By the Par Kohen Mashiach, there's a Pasuk that says, you have to take off fats from the Par Kohen Mashiach, which is a Par Naseh Bifnim, Parim Nesufim, and you are going to put them on the Mizbech Gitzon, and it lists you the fats that you have to do there. And then it says, Kasher Yuram Mishor Zevach HaShlamim. Just like the fats that are taken off of the Zevach HaShlamim, they are placed on the Mizbeach. So too, that is done by the Par Kohen Mashiach. The only thing is that it already enumerates all the fats there. So then what's added by Kasher Yuram Mishor Zevach HaShlamim? That is, Chima Lamadu Mishor Zevach HaShlamim. Me'ato. What do we learn from this? That in fact it's mentioned over here. Ella, Mekish Par Kohen Mashiach, Lasor Zevach HaShlamim. There's a hekesh drawn because of the extraneous nature of the statement between Par Kohen Mashiach and Zevach Shlamim. Masor Zevach Shlamim, Achyu Masav, Machshavotav, Mizbeach Chitzon. Just like by the Shlamim, you have to have the Machshava and the process and the Mizbeach Chitzon, which by definition is what happens by Shlamim, because the Shlamim only has processes that are done in the Mizbeach Chitzon, and you're only doing Avodot outside. Afkor Par Kohen Mashiach, Achyu Machshavotav, Masav, Mizbeach Chitzon. So too, the Par Kohen Mashiach, or any of the Parim Nisrafim, Sarim Nisrafim, or Par Sayyosh Yom HaKippurim, as long as you are doing a process that is outside of the Heichal, and if you're thinking about an item that's outside of the Heichal, they will be subject to Pigul, because in that way, they're now very similar, or domeh, to a Shlamim, and that's the source for Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Yossi's position. Even though, as the Baal Tosfos will point out, we actually learned from Kasher Yuram earlier in the Perek, teaches you that the Shtei HaKlayot and the Yoteret HaKaved are fats that are put on his back for the Paralam Dover Shel Tzibor. We learned that out of Kasher Yuram. So it says that this Rabbi Elazar is going to have to learn it from a different location. We have other limudim for that. But you can't learn it from Kasher Yuram. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Vua, Amar Rav, Halacha ke Rabbi Elazar, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Yossi. That's what I said before. It doesn't have Rabbi Yossi Galili over here. That's why they changed the girsa earlier. She says the halacha is like him. Not like the Chachamim who say that it applies to everything. Not like Rabbi Shimon says it only applies to Korbanot from his Mizbeach Chitzon. It's this position that says, yes, in general, it's only Korbanot that are processed on the Mizbeach Chitzon. But even for Korbanot that are processed in the Eichal, nevertheless, the aspects of them that are done in Mizbeach Chitzon, they will be subject to Pigul. And even though, as the Baal Tosfot note, we have many places in Shas where there seem to be Stam Mishnayot that include Pigul for things that are Naseh Bifnim, he says that the word Pigul in those instances you'll have to interpret not to mean Pigul literally in the sense of Chutz L'Zmano and Pigul that's Chayav Karet, rather Pigul as a terminology that means Pasul. Because even those that believe, like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no din of Pigul with regards to Korbanot that are processed Bifnim, nevertheless, if you have a Machshev Pigol, it won't be meaningful in terms of Pigol, but it'll still be meaningful enough to make it Pasol. And that's what we'll have to say, that according to Rabbi Elazar, in the name Rabbi Yossi, we'll have to explain all those Tam Mishnayot as referencing not to pigol literally, but to say that the korbanot are pasul, even though we're dealing with items that are processed bifnim. So amar, the different options here, either amar rava, and based on the Balei Tosafot, if you look in the Balei Tosafot on the top of the next amud, the gears over here seems to be amar rav Yosef, hilchata lemishicha. What are you telling us about halacha that has no application right now? This is something that's going to be true in the future. We don't need this. You're telling us, oh, the halacha is like Rav Elazar. Why does it matter, the halacha is like Rav Elazar? It doesn't matter until the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. So, Malei Abaye, Lemeata, Kosh, Chitat, Kodoshim, Lo Ditnei, Hilchata, Lemishicho. What are you saying? Oh, we shouldn't learn this Masechta. Why are we bothering to learn Zvachim at all? You're going to say, oh, it's all Hilchata, Lemishicho. So then why do we bother with that at all? Ella, Drosh, Vikabel, Skar. So Rav Elazar answers him, that's the whole point. The whole point is that you have to learn Torah because of Drosh B'Kabel Skar. The Torah tells you to learn, and so we learn it. So, Achanami Drosh B'Kabel Skar. So, too, with regards to saying who the halacha is like, we're darshing the halacha. Doesn't mean that it's halacha the maisa now, but we're coming to a conclusion. So, Hachikamin halacha. So, this is where Rav Yosef responds and says, Hilchata Lomali. Why do you need halacha? Meaning that I don't disagree with you about the Drosh B'Kabel Skar. I still don't think you need to paskin halacha. Psak halacha is only relevant when there's an action that can be taken, that there's a maaseh that will happen that the halacha will be relevant to. To learn about Kodeshim, I don't disagree with you. That's Drosh V'Kabel Skar. Halacha is a specific hachra'ah for the purpose of then doing it, or going into action. Over here, that isn't relevant because Hilchata Lemishicha. Or, Ikad Lishnachrina, Amalei, Halacha Kamina. Or Rabbi Yosef answered him, listen, I wasn't telling you not to learn Kodeshim. My point was that halacha doesn't seem to be the right thing to do over here because it's hilchata l'mishicha. Here, if you look on the left, there's a big Balei Tosafot that tries to reconcile this throughout Shas. He says, sometimes the Gemara raises this issue of hilchata l'mishicha, and it says, what are you doing? Why are you passing halacha when it has no relevance today? And other times, it ignores it completely. So why does the Gemara ask it in some instances, and in other instances, it ignores it completely? So the Balei Tosafot go through many of the instances where the Gemara does not say Hilchata L'Mashicha, even though the halacha is only relevant. Like, for instance, when you're talking about the Korban HaPesach being Doche Shabbat, all sorts of items like that, how come the Gemara doesn't say Hilchata L'Mashicha when it's discussing that? He says that all those items have halacha l'masa that's applicable. So you can extrapolate them to another din. For instance, he says, the Gemara at the end of Kiddushin, where he said the halacha is that Latid Lavo, that the Mamzerim are going to be Tahor, we're not going to question anybody who has Yichus that was lost along the way. Says, my nafkamina now, that's only something in the future. So he says, nafkamina now is akshav, shalol harchik mishpachot, and yudot. We have families that we don't know whether they are mamzeim or not merizeim, or they have yichus, don't have yichus, we're not going to push them away. Because latid lavo, those families are going to be accepted. Or, in the beginning of Yoma, he says that we pass them like Rabbi Yossi, when it comes to a Kohen Gadol that's taken out of service, and he has a replacement, and then the first one comes back, that Chuzer Rishon, the first one goes back to his original position, and then we dismiss the one who was his replacement in the interim. So he says, that's a nafkamina achshav, benasi or Rosh Yeshiva, or Panas, hamunah letzibur. If you have some leadership position within Yadut, that had to be deposed for a short period of time, either because they were sick, they were ill, for whatever reason, they were temporarily suspended from their position. Then when the replacement comes in, he's only there temporarily. If the other person gets well again, he returns to his original status. So we learn halacha l'maisa. Also the fact that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva about melachot that efshar lasotam erev Shabbat, inu docheta Shabbat. When it comes to items that you can do before Shabbat, they're not doche Shabbat with regards to the Korban HaPesach. It says, enough kaminim is v'nazel inyan milah. Milah that's doche Shabbat is the same din as Pesach. If you can do the things before Shabbat, you don't have a right to violate Shabbat for them. Only things that can't be done beforehand, those you're allowed to violate Shabbat for. It goes through all these items where the Gemara does not say Hilchot HaMashicha, even though the Gemara comes to a halachic conclusion about something that is not relevant today, and it's only relevant in the Zman HaMikdash. Nevertheless, the Balei Tosafot shows that in each of those instances is halacha l'masa that is applicable today, and therefore that's why the Gemara paskin those halachot. But then he runs into a problem with some areas of halacha, where we have psiske halacha, which don't seem to have any relevance or any extrapolation to the halacha l'masa. And he says that, nira de Rav Yosef dafka di'it le'hacha u'b'sanhedrin den li'fso hilchot al-mashicha. He seems to think that it's a specific opinion of Rav Yosef. And that's how we know, I said before, that the Girsa is Rav Yosef. It says Rav Yosef over here, and Rav Yosef in Sanhedrin is the one who asked this question of Hilchot HaMashicha. He says it seems to be uniquely associated with Rav Yosef, and not a general principle of the Gemara. But then he brings the Rabbeinu Chaim, who brings a different psak, which he says, Afresh lo parech Hilchot HaMashicha, ela hecha deika tarte. You need two things in order for the Gemara to ask this question. Number one is, Shulamish Shicha. Number one is that it's only relevant in the time of Mashiach. And the second thing is that it's only a violation of something that is wrong, and therefore there's no reason to be posek halacha. The psak halacha is telling you, if you do this thing wrong, then you're going to be subject to some penalty or some problem. So it's two things that are problematic. Number one is it's in the future. Number two is not only in the future, but you would have to take an action that's negative in order to be in violation of it. That's when we invoke this question of Hilchot HaMashicha. And you can see here on the side that he mentions that the Tosfos Yishanim in Yoma adds an additional item, which is that V'atid Lavo, everybody would be tzaddikim. So there'll be no reason to worry about the fact that they're going to do something wrong. You only need the psiske aloha, the mashicha, that are the positive aspects, not the negative things. That's what he uses to explain that shita, the Rabbeinu Chaim, as to why we only ask Hilta Mashicha in those instances. Rabbeinu Chaim, on a simple level, is just saying that why would you paskin aloha when, number one, it's not relevant today, and number two is it requires an action that would actually be a violation. It's one thing to explain to us how something will be done in the future, but to explain to us in the future how you can violate something, that doesn't make sense, and that's when we invoke this question of, Hilchot HaMashicha, why bother telling us that there is a psak halacha? Okay, we're going to stop here, but the Mishnah on the top of Memhei Amud Aleph.